Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of Scripture which is chosen for our meditation today from 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 9, where St. Paul wrote, "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me." This is the word. Brothers and sisters in Christ, does your doctor still make house calls? Your physician? "Oh no," you say. "I must go and sit in his office and wait there for a half hour or an hour perhaps, and hopefully then I can get in to see him and he hasn't had to make a special run to the hospital." Well, we have a physician in the New Testament, and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote two books, the books of Acts and Luke. And by virtue of those books, he is still making house calls for the cure of sin-sick souls. And on this October the 18th in the church year, we recognize St. Luke and take it as his day in the church. And we see briefly what we can learn from and about this great man of God. And in view of recent, very recent events, it is my sincere hope that there is a cure of souls, a capable and competent cure of souls who is at the side and near the family of our recently departed Governor Mel Carnahan and all those who grieve those who passed away in that tragic plane crash. We shall remember them in our prayers this morning. We don't know a tremendous amount about St. Luke. Paul makes only this thin remark about him that I read to you. It seems that many of Paul's friends had deserted him during his Roman imprisonment. Luke alone had stayed with him. And Paul referred to him as the beloved physician. And we know that St. Luke was a professional man, a man of academic achievement. His Greek is more difficult to read than, for example, that of Peter or John, who were fishermen. It was under the ministry of St. Paul that Dr. Luke was converted to faith in Christ. Luke, too, had to hear the good news of the Savior who came to earth to bear the sins of Luke as well as the sins of the whole world. He had to hear that God had revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ, that Jesus had proven himself to be the Son of God with power. Luke learned that Jesus brought the good news of the kingdom of God into this world with him, and that God was interested in people. He was as a father who waited for his prodigal sons and daughters under the gentle urging of the Holy Spirit to return to him. And Jesus proved the Heavenly Father's love for Luke and for all of us when he laid down his life for his friends, for Luke, for you and me. He rose again and promised that those who would put their trust in him, who with the Spirit's help would take that leap of faith, these would share in his glory and in the glory of his heavenly Father. And that is, in brief, the good news of his sacrifice, of the forgiveness of sins and life in Christ. When St. Luke heard that, his heart was touched, just as your hearts and mine have been touched by the love of a Savior who gave himself for you. And Luke's life and work then at his conversion took turn, and Christ became the center of the life of Dr. Luke. The news of Jesus became for him the thing that had to be served in life. It had to stand at the center of Luke's existence. And so he left his medical practice, as many of you have also left whatever it was that you were practicing before you came here. He left his medical practice and, for Christ's sake, accompanied St. Paul and then became Christ's gift to St. Paul. And thus, Paul, who really needed a personal physician, had one. Paul, who was often beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, imprisoned. Who can know how many times Dr. Luke patched up cuts, cooled fevers, fought the illnesses of that great soldier of Jesus, Paul. And so in the life of Luke, we find the pattern of growth in the individual who not only owned Jesus as Savior, but also received him as Lord. Always, we have all received him as Savior here, but it remains a daily challenge that we own him also as the Lord of our life. Dr. Martin Marty asks some rather pointed questions to assess the lordship of Christ in our lives. He asks, did you ever let your faith interrupt a single cultural pattern in your life? Did you ever have to ask whether military service, capital punishment, or certain political attitudes were permissible to you if you really believed? Did you ever once, in the face of a scheduling conflict, place discipleship ahead of your household gods? Did Christian service ever take priority over your job, over your child's dancing school lessons? The answers, he says, are symptomatic of the struggle that we face as we own Christ as Savior, but also want to have him as Lord of our lives. And the Lord called Luke and he called Paul to radical discipleship. And who knows what he has in mind for you for radical discipleship, where he might put you and challenge you in the power of the Holy Spirit. You will have to grapple with that. And the last thing I want to take note about St. Luke is his faithfulness. Others had left Paul. Luke stayed. Other friends had departed for greener pastures, but Luke had made a personal commitment first to Jesus, and then for Jesus' sake, he committed himself to Paul to serve the servant who brought him the truth of the gospel. He had been brought to life in the family of God with St. Paul, and he would, by God's grace, also go out of this life in the family of God. He was faithful, and our Savior promised the faithful person, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Note that the crown of life is given to those who remain faithful. Faithfulness is ridiculed and trampled upon today. It seems that unfaithfulness is Lord and King. Only God knows how much damage and how much heartbreak has been brought on through unfaithfulness. In parishes today, we see husbands and wives unfaithful to each other, yielding broken marriages. We see parents unfaithful to their children, lower than the beasts of the field, running out even on their own flesh and blood and refusing to support and care for the fruit of their own bodies. But God will not spare them, when his judgment falls. The county or the state is a poor substitute for mommy or daddy. We see young adults faithlessly running out on aging parents, refusing to help those who have sacrificed deeply to help them on their way. And among the nations today, we see treaty breakers sitting at bargaining tables but being unfaithful. Now, as for you and me, remember that faithful soldier of the cross, Dr. Luke. He was centered in Christ, the Word, but also in the written Word of God. As I did my research for this sermon, I was amazed to learn what a man of the Word Luke was. Only St. Paul surpasses Dr. Luke in the chapters written in the New Testament. Luke is second with 52 chapters in his Gospel and Acts. Who would have guessed that the Spirit of God would use a physician who in all those 52 chapters says nothing about himself, but all for Jesus, to write more chapters of his word than either John or Peter or James or Matthew? But when Jesus Christ is Lord in your life, he accomplishes some amazing things in the life of his people. And Dr. Luke is still making house calls on all who read his words. Remember the faithfulness of Dr. Luke. Like every true saint, he points us to one above and beyond himself. Look to the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, faithful unto death, and now he lives and he offers his power to his people who want to remain faithful and to help us to stick to it as Dr. Luke did. Only Luke is here with me. Faithfulness by the power of Jesus Christ. God gives it to you. Use it. Rejoice in it. It's given to the saints. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.